I think, you know, you'd only move a team if you really exhausted all the possibilities. And I don't believe they did.
Did you meet with the Miami Open officials to discuss an alternative to keeping the tournament in Miami? And if so, what were your thoughts?
Well, I mean, when I read that the Miami Open might leave, and I spoke with them, and you know, if it's an alternative between staying and Key Biscayne or leaving, I wanted to present them, you know, a position that I thought it could work at our stadium.
How long do you think it would take you to build a tennis facility?
No time.
No time meaning?
A year.
Not much of a challenge for you?
Small.
Quite on the scale of the stadium renovations, right?
Hardly. And we'd take advantage of the stadium renovations. You know, I mean, we'd spend a lot of money there. And it's really going to become an entertainment capital. I mean, between what we're doing with the soccer, you know, and other entertainment acts and the football, and what we're doing there. I mean, you guys haven't seen the completed product. I mean, that's in process, you know, now, and it's going to be incredible. It's going to be a real showcase.
Do you think that a tennis facility would have multiple uses outside of just the tournament?
Yeah, I think that, you know, we would be building a grandstand court. You know, we're just exploring it, so it's not like, you know, it's there. I mean, if they can stay in Key Biscayne, they probably prefer to stay in Key Biscayne. I think it's a great alternative. But it's also, I think, more important to the people in Miami that, you know, they don't lose the tournament somewhere else. I think that's really what's key. Just like they lost the golf tournament somewhere else, you know. So, I mean, we're looking to do what's going to be good, you know, for South Florida. I think you can see by the stadium what we've done and the activity we're doing and having El Clasico. I mean, the beneficiary is really, you know, South Florida.
Do you have any sort of timetable as to when that might come to an end with the tennis tournament?
No, not really.
I believe you guys are not voting on any future Super Bowls this week, is that right?
No.
Do you start any kind of grassroots, ground-level campaigning?
We're always campaigning for South Florida. I mean, they all should want to be in South Florida. It's never ending. You know, when you can sell South Florida, sell it. It's not a hard sell.
Tom, I wanted to ask you, the Dolphins are one of the nominees for Sports Team of the Year and also Hard Rock Stadium for Facility of the Year for the Sports Info Journal Award. I just wanted to ask you what that means.
Well, it's a great honor. You know, we feel like we still have a long way to go, but I think to be mentioned in the same company as some of those other teams is certainly an honor. I think it's a testament to Steve's vision and his commitment to what he's done with the stadium and with the organization, and obviously to Mike and Chris and Adam and everybody else in the organization to be considered in that company. I think it's a nice thing for us, but we still feel like we have a long way to go.
Are you a football writer?
No. Not a good one. So, Mike, where do things stand with Zach Brown? Is there still a possibility that he could become a Miami Dolphin, or have you moved on from that?
You know, philosophically, we talk about this all the time, you know, just from a big picture strategic standpoint. You know, Tom, Steve, and Adam and Chris, you know, we're going to be opportunistic. You know, we wanted to take care of our own and then be opportunistic. So, the lion's share of our focus right now, obviously, is on the draft. If and when the right opportunity came along, we'd certainly evaluate it appropriately. But, you know, we're focused really on the draft, and if something came along, we'll certainly look at it.
What do you feel like you've done off of locking up Pico and then signing Timmons? Do you feel like you've overhauled that linebacker unit successfully?
You know, Omar, I feel like we're heading in the right direction, but, you know, again, if there's the right player at the right price, be it the draft, free agency, you know, that's a position that, you know, even though I think we've done some things well, and I'd say we're encouraged, it's something we'll continue to look at, you know, again, if the right opportunity came along.
Mike, do you have a strong feeling one way or the other on the proposal to eliminate the roster cut to 75?
Yeah, we're going to kind of look at that over the next couple of days, and, you know, we have a couple more days until that vote takes place. You know, Washington proposed that a year ago. I don't think it went very far, you know, from a vote standpoint. So, but we'll look at it. And you know, I know the idea of it is. Yeah.
It's decided. You're taking Wolverine in the first round.
So
I pick which one.
Yeah.
I got a lot of choice. Got a lot of choices.
I understand the reasoning behind it is to have more players available for the fourth game. So we haven't formalized our position quite yet.
Your plan this offseason was to take care of your own guys. Jarvis is still out there. How successful would you say your plan has been so far?
You know, Omar, again, philosophically, you know, organizationally, that's something we feel really convicted about. You go back a little over a year between, like, Mike Pouncey and obviously the quarterback, and then Cam Wake, Rashad Jones, Kiko Alonso. That was really important to us. So, you know, we want to do that and, again, be opportunistic. You know, with Jarvis, you know, really excited that he's Dolphin. He was drafted, coached here, 208 catches in his first 3 years. So we're really glad he's here. You know, from a policy standpoint, we wouldn't comment on any negotiations, but we're glad that Jarvis is a Dolphin.
So you feel like, obviously I know it's a challenge not to comment, but you feel like you've made efforts to make sure that your hometown guys are taken care of?
Yeah, no question. And I think, you know, just going back to last year, and, you know, Adam's talked quite a bit about, you know, we've asked a lot of our guys, and we had some success last year. Again, you know, this year we're going to start 0-0. We have a long, long way to go. But there was a lot of guys that played well that were drafted here, coached here, got better here, and we want to reward those guys and take care of them first.
Beyond rewarding them, though, you believe that core is enough to continue to compete for a playoff spot and maybe even more?
You know, for us, again, we're going to be 0-0. You know, last year was obviously, you know, we were encouraged by winning 10 games, but that doesn't have much bearing on this year, and I've been on both ends of that, you know, in my career. So, but those are really good players and people in our locker room, and, you know, Rashad Jones, you know, got hurt last year, but he was a meaningful contributor to our team. Mike Pouncey, you know, got hurt last year. He was a meaningful contributor. Like, we're trying to build a program that's sustainable, and it's meaningful to be a Dolphin, and, you know, we were trying to send that message, but these were players at the end of the day we thought could help us win, you know, Kiko Alonso and the rest of those guys. So still feel like we have a long way to go, but I feel like we're heading in the right direction.
What would be your comfort level at the guard position if you go into the season with, you know, Larson, who you've signed, and Bushrod, who you brought back?
You know, Joe, you guys have heard me say this quite a bit. You know, the offseason is a continuum, and, you know, you want to go into the draft with as much flexibility as possible. And, you know, I don't think if we sat here a year ago, any of us would have thought that we'd have, you know, Laramie Tunsil as our first-round pick. You know, I certainly didn't. And so who knows where we're going to be in a month, and that's what's so much fun about what we do. So if we have the opportunity to upgrade a position, add depth and competition, we're certainly open to doing that.
You made a number of trades this offseason following up on trades that you made last year and the year before that. How viable is that to helping you improve your roster?
I think it's an underrated aspect, Omar, but I also think it's really important that, you know, you have 31 trade partners, and you really want to come up with solutions that work well for both teams. And, you know, you go back to the trade last year with Philadelphia, for example. You know, I don't want to speak for them, but I think they're pretty happy with Carson Wentz. You know, for us to get, you know, Tunsil, Maxwell, and Kiko, you know, we feel good about that. So I think it's really important to be a good listener and to understand what the other side wants to do, and be it Julius Thomas or Brandon Albert. Hopefully those are trades that, you know, in Jacksonville, you know, they feel good about those trades as well, and we could, you know, work with them again in the future, because in a cap system, you have finite resources to get better. So I think trades is an area that you have to look at as a viable way to help yourself.
Mike, we're 3 weeks removed from the start of the offseason program, and Deion Jordan is still on the roster. Are we at a point where it's safe to assume he will be there for the start of the season?
You know, our roster is always up for discussion.
Separate
how,
from...
Yeah, I want to follow up. How would you, because I get something on Deion Jordan. How would you describe the way Deion Jordan has or has not met the organization's expectations in recent times?
Yeah, look, obviously for, you know, where he was selected today, you know, it's not a move that's worked out. You know, it's pretty obvious. And we'll keep evaluating our roster and make, you know, moves when we feel it's appropriate.
Do you think that he can help you as a linebacker or a defensive end?
Like I said, you know, we're going to keep evaluating our options there. And when we have an update, you know, we'll let you guys know.
Separate from the Raiders leaving Oakland, as far as Vegas is concerned, do you have any opinions or concerns about the league doing business there?
I wish them
specifically in Vegas.
I think there'll be some challenges, and you know, hopefully they'll be able to meet those challenges. But, you know, just like playing in Miami, there are challenges with the players. You know, and I think you have to have, you know, a lot of discipline, you know, with and making sure that things don't get out of hand.
Thank you.
Steve. The offseason is obviously about improving the team, and I recognize that it's not over. But where we are at this point, have the Dolphins made up the gap, or some of the gap, on the New England Patriots?
Well, I mean, we have our program, and you know, we decided how we go about it. And, you know, it's both free agency and the draft. And I think that, you know, we feel comfortable where we are. And, you know, we have a young team. And we've added some, you know, players, you know, that have a little more experience in positions. And with the draft coming up, we're probably going to stay a very young team still.
Mike, but if you could, you know, address that as well.
I like Steve's answer. Look, all you can do is control your own team, you know, and we got 31 other teams that are competitors. Obviously, New England's done a tremendous job for a long time. They're in our division, but, you know, we're trying to build the best program for us, and that's all we can control, and that's enough on our plate, you know, to worry about what we can do and put the best team out there for this year and for the foreseeable future, and we'll play them twice in the fall, and we'll go from there, but we just can't sit there and say, hey, you know, they move made A, so we're going to make move B. We got to build, do what we feel is in our best interest.
Steve, you spent most of your tenure here getting the big fish or pursuing the big fish. What was it like this offseason where it was about focusing on your own guys and continuing to invest in them?
Well, I mean, you could see how the team has developed. I think, you know, the chemistry of the team is totally different. The chemistry of the organization is totally different. And I think that...
is that our second round pick in Michigan player now?
Yeah. Now we got a first and a second. Now we got a first and second. You know, and so I think that, you know, you look and see where you are, you know, and I think people really feel we're making a lot of progress, and you know, I think we've had conversations a lot of how do we continue that progress, and this is the path we picked.
All right, we'll take a couple more,
Steve. I know we're joking about it, but Michigan does have a lot of talent, and so do you find that it's going to be okay for you to suggest that, you know, maybe a Michigan guy?
Well, I mean, let me tell you, I mean, I've told, you know, sure, I'd love to see a Michigan guy in wearing the Dolphins colors, but, you know, we were up there, we were there at Pro Day last Friday, and, you know, it was great being up there, but I've told... Mike, that you know, he doesn't have to listen to me when I tell him who to pick. So you know, so therefore, it's really you know, the decision, you know, that they make, and I think Chris and Mike, you know, do a great job, and we have a great department, you know, in scouting, and they're very thorough. And I think if you look at our draft picks last year, I think that really showed you an awful lot, you know, of the direction which they wanted to go, and we got some, you know, really it was a good draft, and I think we'll continue to have a good draft.
And you're underestimating the fact that our head coach is from Michigan State, and it's great. It's great for us to watch, you know, Adam and Steve have robust discussions about that.
So Jabril Peppers is sitting there at 22, and you're not going to say anything?
Well, of course, but I guess what? you're right. I'm going to say something, but I'm not going to make the one who makes that decision.
What happens if Malik McDowell's there?
Yeah. Or Taco Charlton.
You're right.
I'm saying Malik McDowell because he's a Spartan.
Yeah.
Right. No, I mean, these guys do a good job, you know, and I think you know, you want to look and you talk about the Dolphins. I think what you've seen is you've seen a front office and the coaches working together like you haven't seen it in a long period of time. Certainly not like since I've owned the team, but when you talk to people who've been around there, they haven't seen that type of chemistry in decades. So I think this is really the difference. And I think when you talk to people, when I talk to people, the one thing that makes a winning organization is when everybody's on the same page. And I think that's really what's really interesting. And they like working with each other. And I think, you know, I know all you guys make your phone calls and you talk to them. So I think you're hearing it from me, but you know yourself. So I think that's the big difference to Miami Dolphins today.
Tom, can you follow up on that, your observations about the organizational structure, why it's working relative to Mike, Chris, and Adam?
I think it's a matter of values. I think people share the same values. So when we're all in the room and I listen to the conversations that are taking place, you know, there's a lot of healthy debate, but there's a lot of respect, and there's similar philosophies and values on what they want to do. So from my standpoint, just observing, you know, I'm not a part of those discussions, but when I'm in the room listening to them sometimes, you know, I think there's a lot of mutual respect and healthy debate and personalities that work well together, and I think it's because they have similar values.
Tom, could you update us on season ticket sales, where more or less things are at?
Yeah, I mean, right now we're ahead of pace from where we were last year. I think everything's positive. Renewals have been very positive, well ahead of last year this time. New season ticket deposits we just started taking have been positive, so we expect to be up to start the season from where we were last year in season tickets. And we expect to sell out every game. And things have been real positive.
I mean, Tom's done a great job. I mean, the organization there, I think when you look at totality of our organization and how it's viewed as a sports organization, you know, and the things we're doing, I think it's, you know, it's great for Miami, and I think, you know, it's becoming the envy of most cities.
What are your thoughts on the proposal to give teams the option to not use the color rush uniforms?
Well, that's something we'll discuss. I'm not a big fan of it, but, you know, other people are. So, you know, I think really the coach weighs in an awful lot on that.
There's always a lot of reasons why players want to free agents, especially want to come and play in South Florida. But this particular offseason, did you sense that Gase was a big draw for them? That was a big factor?
I think the things we're doing as an organization, I think the word is, you know, getting out there. Gase, you know, I think, you know, it's amazing how around the country the respect, everybody talks about Gase, you know, as being a great head coach and what our organization is doing today in a lot of different areas, you know, and I think it's also showing that how that we really go out of our way to really care about the players. And I think our business combine we had there up in New York, you know, was an incredible success. I mean, you know, the players loved it. I think we had 16 players. Probably we'll have 40 next year. I mean, they were raving. The notes I got about it from the players and the things that we're doing and really trying to, you know, enhance the whole environment there and their careers, both on and off the field, I think is unique. You know, and that's great for the brand, it's great for the players, and it's great for the team.
Just to add to that, I think we're all really encouraged by it. It certainly exceeded expectations. And just from, you know, where I would say Chris and I in particular sit in the world, you know, it really resonated with the agents and agents seeing how much we care about our players, not just now, but into the future. And I can't tell you how many calls we got from other players that we just didn't have an interest in, but that it really, it took off way more than quickly than we thought. And I think heading into the future, you know, if and when we approach certain free agents, that'll be a big part of our narrative.
Was it easier to sell free agents this offseason, considering you guys are a playoff team?
Did I mention that we don't have any state income tax in Florida? You know, that's one of those things. We can't go 20 words when we talk to free agents. But, yeah, I think where we sit in the world, we have such a great story to tell. Omar, you know, practice and play on grass, great young head coach, the business summit, no state income tax. I put our story up against anybody's.
I was just going to add that when you consider that, you know, it's a voluntary program and they're paying their own way to go participate. And then you look at the level of participation and then the feedback, you know, received afterwards, it kind of speaks for itself. I mean, when the players are paying for their own way to get there and they're volunteering to spend, you know, that much time in their off season and their money to be there, you know, it must be valuable. So I think growing it in the future would be a great thing, but I think it's kind of a special thing for those guys that they really enjoyed.
Yeah, just, you know, Ryan Tannehill was there. Cam Wake wasn't just, you know, guys that were, you know, at the bottom end of the roster. So it was meaningful participation throughout the whole roster, which was, you know, great to see.
Is it fair to say that the organization is likely to pick up the fifth-year option for DeJuan James?
You know, that's a decision, Joe, we don't have to make till after the draft. So we're going to get through the draft, and that'll be soon thereafter. So, you know, DeJuan's another guy, you know, drafted here. Coach Forster's worked with him for a year and, you know, another homegrown talent. So we'll get through the draft and then get that finalized.
Timmons, what did the organization view as his strengths and why?
Yeah, we were excited to get, you know, somebody that's played that long at his level. Our trainer knew him from his days at Pittsburgh. And, you know, once you, after, you know, you sign the player, you usually other things come out and you talk to coaches from that division, they couldn't have been happier with us to get him out of Pittsburgh. So I think he's one of those players that I think true great players have attributes you can't see. And I think two or three years from now, we'll look back and be really happy that he's with us.
Mike, is the Jarvis Landry extension an after the draft to-do thing, or are you currently involved?
It was a killer leaf.
A killer leaf.
Omar, that was very kind of you how you said that, by the way.
It's a Canadian fly.
Yeah. Arbonne, we just want to comment, you know, publicly on, the status of any negotiation.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks.